Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's Thanksgiving. Wonder what a wonderful time of year. As we slowly edge towards winter, faster if you live in Winnipeg, we start to feel the breezes getting a little cooler than they were a month ago. And we are given this time to marvel. To marvel at the beauty of the world and to look around for the blessings. The leaves start to take on new colors before they fall. The ripened tomatoes are ready to be picked before the frost hits. The pumpkin patches are full and the root vegetables are waiting to be pulled. For those who have cottages, this is the cottage weekend. That's where they are today. It marks the end of the season. It's time to pull the boat out of the water, to drain the pipes, and to have that last bonfire before the snow flies. For others, it's a time when people turn their eyes and their minds to warmer weather. Last Sunday, a couple said to me, "See you in April," as they headed off to Florida for the nice weather. These things and so much more are part of the Canadian Thanksgiving. Now, the marking of Thanksgiving is different in different parts of the world, but it always seems to be tied to the harvest. Perhaps this is only natural, as to up to 100 years ago, 80% of the economy was all agriculturally based. There are many who still try to do a farm-to-table movement. But the bottom line is our sustenance, just and commercially packaged, still comes from the ground or the hoof. Indeed, this is a time to be thankful. A time to be thankful for the blessings which reach our table, reach our homes, reach our lives. Paul read from the book of Deuteronomy. You need to know Paul and I went to school together. We had the same homiletics prof, and so you could tell that in the voice there. The Israelites were coming off 40 years of wandering in the desert. Food had sometimes been scarce. Sleeping accommodations were not ideal, and the people were tired. It's sort of like coming back from a long weekend with a church youth group. You just want to get home. Now, the end was in sight. They were moving into a land of plenty, and they were excited. Hear the promise. Hear the promise of the author. God is about to bring you to a good land, a land with brooks and rivers, streams and lakes, streams out of the hills and through the valleys. It is a land of wheat and barley, of figs and vines and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It's a place where you'll never go hungry. Look at the blessings. There was no doubt in the author's mind that there were blessings in this new promised land. It was the land of milk and honey. It was a place where they would not only survive, but they would thrive. While sadly we cannot say this of the whole world, we can say that in the Canadian context we are a fortunate people. We are a people of many blessings. Many of us here can look ahead to Thanksgiving dinner today or tomorrow. We will see faces around the table of family and friends, or perhaps we will just hold memories of Thanksgiving's past, of people who touched our days and continue to do so. As we look ahead to election in a little over a week, while many may or may not know who they want to vote for or who is not or the best candidate, we do know that whoever wins, we will continue to live in a peaceful and free country. And how can we not be thankful? Like the Israelites of so long ago, we should feel blessed. And although life isn't perfect, Although it may take turns that annoy us or frustrate us or even take us aside, for most of it, if we pause and look back, even in the hard times, we can sense thanksgiving. But having blessings was not the author's concern. What was his concern is that we don't think about them. What was his concern is that we forget them. We forget that it was God who guided them to the promised land. The author was concerned about human complacency. We take for granted that which surrounds us. We have a sense of we deserve what we have. Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it this way: if you start thinking of yourself, I did this, then think again. Remember, God gave you the strength to move forward, to carry on. You could not have done any of this by yourself. Remember, Scripture says, remember your time in the wilderness. Remember the hard times when you didn't know how you'd get through the day. Remember when someone reached out to you and used this time of thanksgiving to reach out to others. Remembering allows us perspective. It allows us to look at the bigger picture and to be thankful. Harold was on our church roll, but rarely did I see Harold in the pews. His wife was there. She was active. She sang in the choir, and I'd see Harold every time there was a choir party. But I'd say to him, Harold, will we see you at church? And he said, see you Christmas Eve, Bill. And sure enough, that would happen. But one day, Harold suffered chest pain. He was rushed to the hospital, and he underwent a number of tests, which indicated that he needed a triple bypass. Shortly after the diagnosis was made, I was called to the hospital. Harold was frightened. He needed to talk. He needed to express his concerns and feel a sense of spiritual and pastoral care. And so I talked with him. I talked about the excellent surgical team and the faith that guides us through such times, that God is with him and his family. And we prayed together. For a variety of reasons, it took time between the diagnosis and the surgery. And every third day or so, I get a call, go and see Harold. And I did. And we would talk, and after a number of visits and the surgery was coming close, Harold said to me, you know, Bill, I'm more confident now than I was before. I think I can go through with this. God is with me. Well, Harold got through with this. Surgery was successful. Everything was fine, and within a few weeks, he was out walking the streets again, feeling good and robust. And I saw him, and I called him over and said, Harold, how are you doing? He said, really good. I said, Harold, I haven't seen you in church lately. Remember the promise? Every Sunday, Harold? He looked at me and he said, Bill, he said, that was before surgery. Surgery's passed, I'm okay now, I'll see you Christmas Eve. Now, in reality, I never expected Harold to be in church every Sunday, but perhaps he gives us a classic example of ourselves. Too soon we forget that which touched our lives, the skilled hands of surgeons or the inner peace of faith, the families who nurtured us, the teachers who influence us, the colleagues who encourage us, the life partner who walks beside us, and a God who promises never to let us go. Is there any Harold in us? We forget the food on our table did not just instantly appear, but is the result of many hands. We take the blessings, but forget to feel blessed. We eat the grain, but forget the gratitude. We take what we have for granted, without the thanks or without the giving. George and Muriel have been married for 50 years. I remember when that was a long time. But But they were there. They were there at their grandchild's wedding. And they sat towards the front, and they right in front of the table, and they could see their grandchild and her spouse about to enjoy the day. And every time the glasses clinked, they'd lean over and kiss, and Muriel would go, ah. Well, at one point, they leaned over and kissed, and the groom said, I love you so very much. Muriel cleared her throat, and she leaned over to George and said, George, remember when we used to be like that? Remember when you used to whisper in my ear and say, I love you? And George looked back at his loving wife and said, Muriel, I told you 50 years ago I love you. If there's any change, you'll be the first to know. A little thank you can go a long way. A little I love you can go a long way. Luke tells the familiar story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. The treatment of leprosy was not much in those days, and the disease was contagious, and so therefore people who suffered from leprosy were put into communes, often in the hills around Palestine. The interesting thing is when you have an issue, it breaks down barriers. And so there were no longer Jews and Samaritans, men and women. They were people with leprosy who needed one another, who cared for one another. But the law was clear. A person with leprosy could not go within 50 yards of an individual who did not have leprosy. And because there wasn't much for them to eat, the leper would go to the side of the road and yell back from here to the back of the church and say, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And when they saw Jesus go by, they said the same thing. We heard it in the story. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And we know what happened. 10 cried out. 10 were made well. Go and show yourself to the priest, Jesus said. And on the way, they were healed. And Luke points out that one was a Samaritan. Now, as I mentioned, Jews and Samaritans generally did not get along, perhaps only in times of need and in gratitude. All 10 were healed. I'm sure all 10 were thankful. But only one returned, perhaps like Harold. They didn't think they had to say thank you because their withered limbs were restored. Just one. Just a stranger took time to give thanks. Fred Craddock writes, it is often the stranger in the church who heartily sings the hymns we long have left to the choir, who expresses gratitude for blessings we have not noticed, who listens attentively to a sermon we think we've heard before, who gets excited about our old Bibles, and who becomes actively involved in those acts of service to which we might simply send a small donation. We who are in the middle, we who are surrounded by the blessings of God are sometimes the last to see them. May we be personally grateful and truly thankful. And while all were made well, if we read the Greek, we know that something different happened to the Samaritan. The Greek says that he was made whole. All were made physically well, but the Samaritan was made whole. He had felt the sensation in his mind, and he knew he was freed up to live again. He felt a sensation in his body that brought together those withered limbs. He brought the sensation in his heart, and it took him back to Jesus. Thanksgiving. Perhaps it's more of an attitude than an acclaimed day on the calendar. Perhaps it is the way we should be addressing all that brings joy and wholeness and healing into our lives. Thanksgiving, perhaps it is an attitude that needs to lead to action. Remember when you were helped. How can we help another? Remember the blessings on your table. How can we remember those who do not have those blessings? Remember when people were there for us. How can we be there for others? Thanksgiving, an attitude, an action. Thanksgiving, a way of opening the door and realizing all that we have. It's that time of year. We can feel it in the wind. A thankful time. A time of gratitude. Not simply to be made well, but to be made whole. Body, mind, and spirit. Take it. It's God's gift to you. Happy Thanksgiving.